Well, hello there. Welcome to my podcast. It's December 26, 2020. Yes, we're still in 2020. And I'm currently multitasking, doing two to three things at once, as I always do. It never works out the way I want it to when I try doing this, but I'm going to attempt it. Sitting at my desk and updating Windows, which seems to be more of what I do than writing these days, because these updates seem to take forever. And sure, that's the vein of every author out there. I'm reading some of the news here as it's coming in, and I'm trying to really stomach it, to put it mildly. You know, I've been sitting here all day thinking about not one's legacy, but the value of one's work and one's words and the thing one does with their life that tends to last well beyond them. I have two bottles of ink here that my sister got me. One is Lexington Gray and the other is Rome Burning. And I was playing with them and all of a sudden a news came across. And it so happened to be, oddly enough, Matt Hardy. He's a pro wrestler that acquaintance. Don't know Matt real well. Followed his career. Always liked Matt. He was always one of those guys, him and Jeff, that wrote really great poetry. I always liked them more than wrestling. I happened to have a neighbor that moved in, and I believe I've told the story on here before, that when my neighbor Tom Creed passed away, there's something here somewhere. It's a story. My neighbor Tom Creed, passed away. I thought I had it written down, but this neighbor Billy moved in. He was a wrestler for TNA, and I got to know a lot of these guys, a lot of really great legendary wrestlers. And so I was sitting here thinking about all that, and I'm looking, I'm follow Matt. I see that he writes. I always liked his poetry, like Jeff's stuff. And this is a picture of him. And he switched to, I forget what it's called, AEW or something. And I'm looking and I see this picture from his birthday. And, oh, that's nice. You know, him and Miro and a couple other people. I don't follow wrestling. I used to way back in the day. And I see R.I.P. Brody Lee, and I just feel, oh my God, no. Of all people, not Brody Lee. never met Brody Lee, I'm going to say that first of all. But I've followed him, and I've heard people talk about him. A wonderful family man. Wonderful guy. He did the Wyatt family thing, I guess. And yeah, I mean, what a downer. What a real downer. What just a way to stomach that. I've had a few times in my life where I have read about someone's passing in that manner, and my emotions go from this picture, I'm like, oh wow, it's a great picture, to that's a great post, to oh. And now this is one of them. So I really, really, really think, looking back at how many wrestlers have had amazing careers, really amazing careers. And here's Brody Lee that was, I have to look this up. He went from WWE to AEW. And, you know, this guy had a lot of talent, a lot of talent. He would have been, I can't believe I'm saying would have been. He is a legend, okay. Very accomplished wrestler, all these things, and would he have lived beyond this? He could have been obviously up there with The Undertaker and Stone Cold Steve Austin, Sting, and everybody else. Talent beyond belief. My age, and hearing about his passing really, really touches me. I've been looking at a lot of things, looking now, and I had a tear in my eye. And I think of him and his family tonight. Wow, that's a tough one. That's a tough one to stomach, you know. And we're living in a time where it seems like every day we're turning around at some famous musician you've heard about, somebody you grew up with, somebody you care about, some friend, someone from high school, a friend of a friend, and one reason or another, and the Brody's wasn't COVID from what I understand, but what a year, man, what a sucky year, wow. Oh, man. So, you know, I'm thinking about this year's going to end and 2021 is, it's not like a light switch changes here. You know, we're still in this pandemic and we're still in a situation where to get the wheels in motion on things, it's going to take a while. So this is a hell of a time to live. I think in the past 100 years, none of us have been prepared for this. We've always been given these different philosophical thoughts, and that's what I was really wanted to do this on mainly today. Well, first of all, I wanted to wish you all Merry Christmas, and that's the most important thing I wanted to do and get the spirit of the season. I've been sharing many of these Santa Claus videos for people. And I didn't make them. A friend of mine, Don, had originally posted them. I don't know what happened to Don, but every year I post those videos in order. And they really are meaningful to me. They touch me. They keep the spirit of Christmas alive. There was a year that I did not have the Christmas spirit, and Don had posted a couple, and it picked me up. And every year when I feel that way, I kind of look back to those videos for myself personally and look forward to it, because they go with it's like an advent calendar is what it is, of Christmas stories. And it starts out and it's Santa Claus telling the stories, and they help put you into that spirit. Not that Santa Claus necessarily is the total reason for the season, but Santa's up there, you know. And when the kids out there, you know, when you see that jolly old elf, I shouldn't be having kids listen to my podcast, but when you hear that jolly old elf out there and he's telling you these stories, it really puts a lot of things into perspective for you and makes you thankful that you're alive and every day is a gift to you. And those are what those videos are really about. So I was glad to post them on my page and Twitter. And it shows me fundamentally in the same idea I'm running with about the meaning of existence and life, and what we've grown up to believe in the human spirit, which I want to get into, is very psychologically powerful, this whole podcast. And thinking of Brody, man, that just really throws it in there too. Because here's a guy that, you know, his in-ring performance was not his life, and he was a very, very humble person and a very, very kind person. And, you know, it shows you just the things he lived for, okay? So I put this out there, too, for the people who live for things that are beyond themselves. Altruism, My cat has to get involved. I hear her stretch. Hey, Sash. She always has to be in one of my podcasts, so I'm not alone. So, you know, there's two types of happiness, two types of real happiness in life. And I won't go into the Latin in them, but the first one basically boils down to, are you happy because you're doing things that make you feel good? You know, is it about the money, sex, the party, and the friends you have, what people can give you? And then the other type of happiness is, of course, is about what you draw from doing for others, what you draw from being a part of something bigger than yourself and meaningfully. I think those two types of happiness define what we're going through. And I don't think people belong to either one. There's people that waffle from one to the other. There's people that take an ideology and bend it to shape to what their reasons are, okay? And to me, during this pandemic, the idea of wearing a mask and all these other things, I'm not being political here, because there's nothing about it. There's lives. I've known a great many people that have had a hell of a lot of suffering this year. And I think, in my own opinion, in the opinion of the health and safety of others, you know, if you're not thinking about the health and safety of others, then you're probably in the one where you live for instant gratification and your idea of freedom and liberty is your own. I think the freedom and liberty, in a sense, though, that I always believed is a sense much the way that my ancestors believed when they fought at Brandywine and their friend Thomas Jefferson had. That it was an ideal, not an idea, it was an ideal. It was a human right and liberty. You know, we have the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights, not the Bill of, you know, what is a right and what is a privilege. You don't have the Bill of Privileges. You're not privileged to anything. A right is a God-given thing. So when you take the health and safety of others, that should be a right and not a privilege. Just as much as your First Amendment right, your Second Amendment right, and all those other amendments. I don't know what they all are. I should. But going back to what I was saying here is this altruistic philosophy that so much defines what America originally was, which was an agrarian belief and became a corporate capitalistic system, which is fine. I'm not against capitalism at all. But I see it greatly defined in people's love of money and lack of thinking of others and really, really genuinely just being nasty to one another, cruel, reveling in the destruction of others. And I've faced that a lot this year, too. I've something going on that is, I will speak about in the future. It really has shown me how far people will go to try to destroy other people. And leaves you in a moment where you sit there and think about it. Like, you know, here I am every day, living meagerly, trying to do well for others. In fact, more so than for myself. I always have lived to that philosophy. And someone is going to try to destroy you. Just for their own ego and their own benefit. And for no reason. So, what this year has really shown us is the faults in our system, where be it healthcare, be it all these other things, being going to work every day, every day, and every day, and being told not to live for your dreams, your set goals, your soul-driven purpose, but rather for the wealth and benefit of others. In other words, other people are going to make more money off of you and trickle down that wealth to you to where you can live. But they're going to be very, very wealthy. They're going to be making $8,000 a minute, and you're going to be begging for a raise. And it goes back to really when America became this way. I'm talking, I just bought this steamer trunk. And if you look at the quality and the workmanship in it, it's a really beautiful one. I have one here that my great-great-grandfather had. And it sits at the base of my bed. And it sat in my grandmother's attic for many, 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 many years. And I brought it back, I restored it, I fixed it. I know how to do these things, you know. I didn't guess on how to do it. I've done woodworking for at least 30 years at least, I believe. And I've studied and learned a different craft. So I haven't ever restored a good bit of it without, you don't want to damage or take the patina off of it. I got this other one the other day, and going looking at both of these things from the 1880s and seeing how things have changed recently, how things are so disposable and people are so disposable, it shows me the difference in the philosophy. America changed about the time, quite after the Industrial Revolution, when you had a lot of people coming from, my father's people came here from Eastern Europe and Ireland and places like that. And it was cheap, free labor, and it was a reason for people to look down on others and to say, well, hey, you know, these people are going to come over here, and all from Italy and other places. They're going to come over here and they're going to work in the coal mines and the steel mills, especially Western Pennsylvania. And we're going to pay them a meager wage. In fact, we're not just going to pay them a meager wage. We're going to make them indebted to us. Make them almost like indentured servants where they live in a company house, company store, work in the mine, you name it. Everybody's heard these stories. And a lot of our grandparents and great-grandparents that came here, I have on my father's side, they came here. My mother's side goes way back. So I get both sides of the American spectrum. People that came here were not treated very well. This old, and I have this is the difference, you see. I have these steamer trunks. They're the camelback ones, not the flat ones. But either one, you know, you put them in a house like certain ones, like this one or the other one, and it's not a Victorian wraparound porch house, okay? This is not an exquisite house. It's a company house. And they don't fit. And you wonder why. Well, why don't they fit? Well, these houses were made, many of them, you could order via kit by Sears and Roebuck, and they would send you all the parts to make these houses, and people would have land, and they'd build like five or six of them, and that's why a lot of them looked exactly alike. And they were made cheaply, a lot better than the ones today that are made. But these homes were made very cheaply. They were not made to be beautiful. They were made to house with people that were working for you. The bosses had the nice houses. And those houses with the wraparound porches were Victorian and all that were lost. Well, they're still there, but the concept of them was lost. You weren't making things for the aesthetic beauty of them. You were making them instead to have a sense that You're cheapening it for your benefit so that the people working for you do not have that benefit. And those are the usually 9 chances out of 10, the people that are working a lot harder than the bosses. I'm not putting down wealth. You know, if you've earned wealth, you deserve it. I don't believe that our ancestors fought in the Revolutionary War and the Civil War, and World War I, World War II, Spanish-American War, War of 1812, French-American War, you name it. We're fighting so that somebody can go fox hunting and have the right to step on other people. Or to be living in a wonderful house. Like the man on It's a Wonderful Life. that movie really, I just watched it last night. That movie really puts into perspective. But there's a great thing that they were doing historically to preserve these company houses. And I kind of laughed to myself because I prefer the Victorian. I prefer history from about 1780 to about 1890. And from there, I'd like to skip the next 50 years to, like, World War II. World War II was when we actually built ourselves back up. But that area from 1900 to 1940 was when people suffered the worst. That's during the Depression and everything else. I waffle in my feelings. When I see a company house somebody is restoring, historically I can appreciate it because that's the kind of house my ancestors lived in. Working in coal mines, the steel mills, and everything else. But then it hurts. It hurts just as much as for when I go to a Native American site and I see what was stolen. Or when I go with my friends that are African American to some of these places and they see an African American, like Mount Vernon, I'm not putting Washington or Jefferson down, but you go to their places and it's like, oh, this is because of the slaves we had. Well, yeah, it's something to really celebrate. You know, you want to say, wow, great, but then you think about it and say, well, yeah, you're just kind of celebrating that other people got rich and all these people died and, they worked all their lives, died of horrible diseases, and they didn't matter. And with COVID, is it showing us that we're feeling that same thing? That 1 out of 1,000 Americans have died, and people don't even wear masks or don't even think about it. Whether it helps or not, you know, if you can do one thing, would you for your fellow man? You saw somebody hurting, would you stop and help them, or would you just step over them? You know, wow, that's going back to those definitions of those two ideas of happiness. Is it about you, or is it about other people too? I mean, you can still have those, that first type of happiness through that. I'm not saying, you know, you're not going to eat that day, you know, you're not going to, sacrifice everything. But I think it's something about the heart. And that part of the heart goes back to the Bible. It goes back to the old woman, an old widow that put... Because I used to always carry 2 widow mites with me because this story always touched me. People at the temple. And Jesus is there and these people are donating all what they have. And this widow comes up and she has 2 mites, which is the smallest amount she could have. And then she donates it. And Jesus says to his disciples, he says, you know, that old woman gave more than anybody. And he said, what do you mean, master? And he says, well, they all had a lot to give. That's all that she had. And I always carried 2 widow's mites with me and all these different... I still have my wallet right there on my driver's license. And every time have to show it to somebody. They'll say, "What's those two pieces of metal you have there?" And I said, "Well, those are two coins from the time of Jesus." And whenever I'm doing a poetry reading, or I'm out somewhere promoting something, or being a part of something for veterans, or you name it, any of these charities, any of these things, I've been a minor part of. I'm not going to say a major part of, because there's a hell of a lot of people that have dedicated more than me to it. But I'm not going to put myself down either. I've done a lot. That's been my life. If you ask me what I've done with my life, I'd say, okay, what I've done for my job, which I haven't made a lot of money doing, what I've done for my writing, which I haven't made a lot of money for, and the charity things I've been a part of, where I see something and I want to make a difference. You know, those are the ones that touch me the greatest. And I think when you get back to it, that's what that kind of giving really is. When you see aesthetically something from the late Victorian and mid-Victorian, early American, and you see the work they put into it that was a gift to somebody or something they were just making. They weren't making it to sell it. They took pride in what they were doing. There's a poem by Thomas Traverne. He lived in 1637 through 1674. He really didn't have a long life. But I wanted to read it to you from The Enlightened Heart. And this fits along. The salutation. These little limbs, these eyes and hands, which here I find, these rosy cheeks, wherewith my life begins, where have you been? Behind? What curtain were ye from me hid so long? Where was, in what abyss, my speaking tongue? When silent, I, so many thousand years beneath the dust, did in chaos lie, how could I, smiles or tears or lips or hands or ears, eyes preserve? Welcome, ye treasures, which I now receive. I, that so long was nothing from eternity, did little think such joys as ears or tongue to celebrate or see, such sounds to hear, such hands to feel, such feet beneath the skies on such ground to meet. New burnished joys, which yellow gold and pearl excel, such sacred treasures are the limbs of boys in which souls doth dwell. Their organized joints and azure veins more wealth include than all the world contains. From dust I rise, and out of nothing now awake. These bright regions which salute mine eyes, a gift from God I take. The earth, the sea, the light, the day, the skies, the sun and stars are mine, if those I prize. Long time before, in my mother's womb was born, God preparing did this glorious store, the world for me adorn. Into this Eden, so divine and fair, so wide and bright, I come, his son and heir. A stranger here, strange things doth meet, strange glories see, strange treasures lodged in this fair world appear, strange all and new to me. But that they mine should be, who nothing was, that strangest is of all yet brought to pass. That poem really fits so well, because what are we taught? Again, going back to doing your work. And so many are going to be out of work soon because a spending bill wasn't passed, or this politician, that politician are fighting and people suffer because of their egos. Because this person wants to destroy somebody else, or this person wants to look down on somebody else, or this person feels they are entitled to what so many other people have, and so these people have to suffer and die. And yet other people are out donating and doing so much for children's cancer and other very noble causes. And yet we go to work every day, and now this is so many people are losing everything. What's the meaning of that kind of suffering? And then the 230-some thousand in America alone that have passed, and the families that are hurting right now. Maybe some of you listening right now, and you're saying, what does this guy know? I know a lot about suffering and pain, and I've donated my life to dedicating my life for something greater than me that, you know, I don't even have health insurance for. I'm a writer, and people are very honored when they ask me to sign a copy of my book, and it means the world to me, but, you know, it doesn't make me rich. And I like that. I don't want to be rich. I'm always reminded the most important part of the Bible was, to me, in the story where Solomon is asked by God, I can give you wealth or wisdom. Which do you choose? And Solomon said, I would rather have wisdom. That was always kind of me. You know, I always wanted to be wise about why I was doing and what I was doing. But, you know, the bullshit's ended for a lot of things. This everyday routines that people got into where these people lied to you and told you you're doing well. No, you're not. That false sense of that these jobs were really caring about us. It's over. We're at a point like in my job where you're putting your life on the line every day you go in there. And I work in basically in healthcare field, more the psychological end of it. But, you know, every day, all these people you took for granted and looked down on, these jobs, like my own. Wow. You know, really wow. We've been told all this time that, hey, you know, these people in ivory towers deserve the big pay. And now they're totally protected, and all these other people are the ones dying and hurting. I've always been justified by my belief system that when I had time to do something, I did it. And lived every life for the moment. And if I had the opportunity to do, now trust me, I've been in some crazy, crazy situations. Ones that I really quite often than not say to myself, why did I do this to myself? Why am I doing this to myself? Why am I driving this road and trying to help this person out or doing this or doing that? And this person would never do it for me. Or if I was in a situation, I don't think I could get five people to even give me the time of day. Well, you know, there's a lot of users out there in life. be it friends, girlfriends, family, be it people you know. That's not the time for this. That goes back to where is your sense of happiness about pleasure and gain, or is it about helping others? I always kind of felt sooner or later it's going to come back to you. The karma is going to come back to you. The good things will come back to you. And I'm hoping a lot of these people out there that are really good that are suffering right now, that the clouds will break and the sun will shine and all this good will be healing. This vaccine will do well. But what we can't go back to anymore is being to where we treat people inhumanely. Where we say to people, you know, if you're sick, you can't call off work. No. You got so many sick days, that's it. You know, we own you. Literally, that's what they've said to us all these years. We own you. You can't take off. Because you need this 40-hour work week. It's the standard you need to reach. No. Maybe you have a bad week. Maybe you just have a bad week. Okay. So, you know, it should come back full circle, back to what really matters in life. That there's so many really, really rich people that don't even work. They have so much wealth. There's so many people that do work so hard, retire, and they have nothing. I want to really encourage everybody. I want to make this is probably the last podcast I'm going to do this year. I want to make this our next New Year's resolution. Think about all these people we've lost. Tonight I'm thinking about Brody Lee too, man. Make this our New Year's resolution to reach out to families of people who have suffered and hurt, lost people. Look to charities like the Salvation Army. They're 20% behind this year on their red kettle. Always love their red kettle. Always give. I know so many people sit out there, dear friends of mine, sit out there in the cold and do it because it's something they believe in. St. Jude's Children's Cancer Research. I was really following this cute little baby that had cancer. I didn't care how famous or poor or whoever its parents were. His parents were a CNN journalist and just wonderful people. And the baby recently, just a couple days ago, passed away. And it shattered me to read that. But I think there's so many people suffering, the little kids with cancer and all these different things. Veterans right now that aren't getting their pay. You know, you name this, okay? Our servicemen. Right now is not the time to question. It's time to fight and question, yes, but it's the time that if you had any soul purpose to give back, now's the time to do it. Like that poem, The Salutation, says, from dust I rise, and now out of nothing, now awake, the brighter regions which salute mine eyes, a gift from God I take. Think about that. Think about the people around you, you know, and make this year 2021 something a little different, you know? Make it something a little different. Hate, to quote the doctor, hate is always foolish. Love is always kind. So always be love. I love you all. Hope you're all doing well this year. We will get through this. To all you suffering out there, I want to send a prayer for this year coming up. Reaching out to everybody out there that in our combined intention of love, healing, peace, an uplifting spirit to guide ourselves and others to find meaning of this year upcoming, we can do so to renew one another and hold to those ideals that as children we had, that as adults we compromised, and that in our moment of need now, in the false equivalency of these things we sold out, we see the value that as children we knew really were important as of taking care of one another and watching out for one another. So praying that everybody out there will find the healing you need and that you all do well this upcoming year. So thank you very much for your time. I'm going to end this podcast, and peace and blessings be upon you all. Thank you.